Interview with Bill David, Executive Director, Florida Republican Party, May 20th, 1974, Tallahassee, Florida.
A lot of interviewing too, of lobbyists and legislators.
What's your background in summary? You've been in this job how long?
This is my fourth year. Probably some kind of longevity record. But prior to that, I was the executive assistant to the Senate Minority Leader, Florida. And prior to that, my background was radio and television news, which seems to be a pretty general gravitation into politics, into my side of politics.
And you were how long with the Senate Minority Leader?
67 until the end of 70 when he was elected to the Congress. And I decided that Washington wasn't my cup of tea.
Did you go with him to Washington? Or?
It's a long, hard decision. I'm very, very close to him, both
who was
professionally
that?
And emotionally. Bill Young. And, you know, we were close friends. And I've been with him since 67, which meant that our communications were just unbelievable. Didn't have to be said, you know, to get the job done.
Were there many Republicans in the legislature in 67? Did they come in 68?
No, 67 was the big year. Well, the special election in 67.
Oh, sorry, that's right.
That was the biggest year. And he was minority leader then. But a few years before that, he was the only Republican in the Senate. He used to hold Republican caucuses in a telephone booth.
And, but the big jump came after the 66 election?
Yeah, then they reapportioned.
In 67?
Right. And that's...
Well,
the Republican Party realized that with the reapportionment, while it wasn't particularly to our liking, it was a lot better than what we had. In fact, reapportionment, I think, has to be something that you've all got to study if you're going to get the picture for it. Because the reapportionment signals, among other things, the end of the pork chop era. And I say the Republican Party at that point had astute enough leadership. They realized, hey, this is the time we can get into a meaningful position in the Senate and House, which they did. We were at our best at that point.
How many senators were there then?
20.
And how many House members?
Oh, you got me, and I knew you'd ask me. I want to say around 40.
But that was
maybe
the strongest.
35.
And how many are there now?
The party was? Is that the high point?
Well, percentage-wise, we're better now. Percentage-wise, because that was a 48-House Senate. Now it's only a 40-House Senate.
And so there, how many Republicans now?
We've got 14 in the Senate now.
How about in the House? 40.
And in the House, we got 43 out of 120. So, you see, in both houses we have veto power.
So the percentage has increased over the years?
Yeah. I can get this stuff for you exactly. I'd say reasonably so, yes.
But steady?
Fairly well, steady, right.
I would like to get that each year, what it's been,
the
figures on that, because I think when we get
to figure, let me make a list for you because I don't want to trust my memory. I can get all the stuff put together in one fell swoop as opposed to interrupting now as we go along.
I guess that first Republican Congress, am I correct on that? And he got elected what year?
Oh boy, he served 16 years.
So he'd been around 56.
When he lost, he was 72. He'd finished eight terms, so about 56. Can I'll check that?
Yeah, we could start about that with the election of first congressman, and at that time, how many Republicans in each house, the legislature, and go from there on both Congress and legislative seats, and if you have any figures on local officials, that would be good too.
I doubt that we do.
But if you just have the others, just on a 2-year basis, because I think it would really show exactly. Really will reflect the growth of the party.
Right. I can do that and I can give you registration figures.
Great.
Make that same reflection.
Good. could.
We passed the million mark last year, and which that's just an emotional figure, you know. Of course, we played it to the hill. But more significant is the fact that while we were a few years back outregistered 2.5 to 1, and we're now down to about 2 to 1. The significance last year was that we were about registering 1-on-1, which, now, of course, we got to register 1-on-1 for a long time before attrition and a lot of other things get us up even. But it nevertheless was the most dramatic mathematical significance. Say, passing the million mark, that was great for a big party. But the more significance was the fact that we were gaining in terms of being out-registered 2.5 to 1, almost to an even keel. And I say, I'll collect the registration figures.
Is Florida the only southern state that's making significant registration gains for the Republican?
I can't tell you, but I rather doubt it. I would think that Tennessee would have made an awful spurt. You know, when they ended up with the governor and the second senator and all that good stuff. Have you been there yet?
No, we're going there next.
Okay, Ron Reitdorf, who's my counterpart, one sharp cookie, it would seem to me, would have taken the initiative on a real registration push once Dunn got elected. Hell, that was a real fairy tale election. It's only if you get a chance to talk with him, do something.
Let me get his name again.
Winfield Dunn.
Oh, right.
Keller. He is just...
Now, your counterpart.
Ron Reitdorf. Reitdorf, I think. You've got 3 or 4 different ball games in this state when it comes to politics. The problems down in the lower East Coast have no relation whatever to the problems in the Panhandle, which have no relation whatever to the problems on the Middle West Coast that have no relation to the Horse and Orange Country. And then the couple of industrial areas we've got in Jacksonville and Tampa. It's a tough, a statewide race. You know, the state of Florida is real tough. I mentioned Tennessee, but Tennessee's got some of the same kind of problems. And Governor Dunn recognized them. And he did a good job, I think, of campaigning correctly. We've had guys that got themselves in trouble because they come from liberal Dade County, and they are very liberal themselves, but man, they get up in the Panhandle here, up near the Georgia border, and all of a sudden they got their tie off, and the harmonica sticking out of their back pocket, and gee, and suddenly it turns out they were born in Georgia. They get caught up in it. It gives them problems.
To what extent does Republican Party financing in Florida depend upon the filing fees?
Not nearly to the extent of the Democrats. We need it. I'm not saying we don't need it. That is, we need it as long as we're doing the kind of job we're doing now. That is, pouring lots of money back into the campaigns, into the legislative races particularly. Tremendous amount of support, well, right up to the limit of our ability, support to the county committees.
And suppose I'm considered a serious, or would be viewed by you as a serious candidate for the legislature in a seat held by a Democrat that looks like it's a real possibility.
Clean shot.
Right. What sort of support would I be able to get Republican Central Committee, Republican State Headquarters?
No, we call ourselves, we're supposed to be the Republican State Executive Committee, but in our Constitution we call ourselves the Republican Party of Florida.
Okay.
Just makes a hell of a lot more sense than a formal
right.
title.
And I don't have to say I don't have a lot of political experience, but I'm viewed as someone who looked like it could
well,
win.
The first thing we do, of course, is convince you to run. And incidentally, conversely, there are cases where we try and convince you not to run. If you were in that district that we have labeled impossible or nigh impossible, which means unless you've got some kind of a real white hat with some kind of a twist, you get the seat. And once we have convinced you to run, if that be the case, then we feel that we owe you an obligation. So first off, we try and help you in the field to get started. We'll have a seminar, for example, out of camp. We'll work with you in trying to put together some volunteers, or if you've got some kind of money, to find somebody that we think is worth the salt to help you with your campaign. We try and talk over great general strategy. Try and talk about what the issues are or ought to be in your particular district. Talk about those things that are unique to your district. Then we start in researching your opponent. And the product of our research 2 years ago was about 1,400 pages. Addressing themselves to the different Democratic incumbents that we were challenging, and it consisted of their roll call votes on issues that we felt might have some impact, some import. Now this had to be rather broad because we did the whole legislature in one research operation as opposed to taking each Democrat individually. So that we had to, for example, address ourselves to three times as many issues as would interest the panhandle or would interest Dade County and so forth and so on. And then we had to consult with our candidates on which issues we considered important in their area. This research had such an impact, made the Democrats so mad. A couple things happened. As one, the Miami Herald called one of our candidates, who put in a good-sized ad outlining specifics where his opponent had not voted the way we felt Dade County would have wanted to vote. And they called our candidate and said, if you're not down to our office by 2 o'clock or some such impossible thing like that, we're going to print a retraction of this ad in our paper. And so I had to fly my assistant down to Miami with the corroborating paperwork, in effect copies of the roll calls when we're involved. And our opponent had a damn attorney there. My assistant just backed him right down on every point. That was the end of it. That was one thing they tried to do, they were so mad about. The other thing is they put a bill in this session saying that if you used a voting record against an incumbent, the correctness of your assertion would have to be certified by whatever body was involved. Of course, we screamed and jumped up and down because that was the substance of it, period. Nothing that said they had to certify it within 72 hours or something like that, so we could take it, you know, the Secretary of the Senate or the Senate's office or the Clerk of the House, both, of course, Democrat, and they just wouldn't ever get around to certifying it. So this was very valuable, and there are two or three races where we can specifically say that the race was won with it, the most notable being, and of course the most gratifying, was a Senate seat in Dade County. And we won that seat on just one issue, and that is the Senator just never was there for sessions. I mean, he had just absolutely an abysmal attendance and voting record, and we document it. So our candidate put a picture of an empty chair, empty Senate chair, in the newspaper. Where's your representative? In the U.S. Senate? He has failed to vote on 2,438 roll calls, or what the hell are the figures were. And so there's no question about that. That's the only reason he won that seat. And then it comes to money. And something obvious beyond all of this that I discussed with you, we put it together on a priority basis as to how much effort, how much time, how much money, and so forth goes into a specific race. You just can't spread yourself thin enough to do everything you want every place.
That's basically a decision made by you and your staff?
Yes. We ask for input from our people at the county level.
Is this based, what, on analysis of just the conditions in that district?
Well, it's based on past statistical history. It's based on current registration. It's based on our opposition. And it's based on our candidate. We had a couple of seats, for crying out loud, but we should have won. And they were winnable districts. But our candidate was so bad, we just rolled them off. And you have to do this. You've got to take this kind of an attitude. Or you spread yourself so thin, you get nothing done. And on the other hand, where we got sure shots, our supporters at a lower level. But psychologically, this is a little bit hard to do sometimes. Because here we've got a guy that we know is going to be in the Senate. And yet we don't befriend him as much, and we take the risk of him not understanding that. Understanding why we didn't come to him for, with more money and so forth and so on. And then he gets mad at you. So, financial support then is passed out in the same way. And it represents a pretty good chunk out of the qualifying fees. And it's well over $150,000.
How much do you get in fees?
Let's see if I got
money. Would you say that most of the fees go for candidate expenditures?
Well, if you wanted to take in terms of both what we give them in flat cash and what we spend in their behalf, really it comes to more than what the filing fees are, because here we're May 20 now, and we'll be geared up hopefully to full staff by about June 15th. Between June 15th and November 15th, there isn't one single damn thing that happens here that isn't in behalf of the candidates, one way and another. Okay, in 72 we received $253,000 of qualifying fees. We paid out in flat out contributions, dollars. Not research, not advising, so forth, $121,000, just about 50%. Of everything we receive. And if you take our payroll of $60,000 and figure that just half of that went to direct candidate support, that's another $30,000. And you take our travel of $23,000, and almost all of that was for candidate support. He gets up, I'm near now, a $200,000 figure out of the $253,000 collected.
Then you have a fairly substantial budget on top of that from contributions, above the filing fees.
Our budget in an off year. Well, 1973. We budgeted, I'm happy to say, came within about $2,000 of the budget. Came in under $2,000. we budgeted, I think it was $153,000.
And all that and all of your rest to come from private contribution?
We try and sandbag it in and on here, which we did a little bit.
I think to the extent of about $60,000 in 72. So that meant that I had to come up with the other 90.
So what do you think it'll be this year? About 350 then?
A little bit hard to say what's going to happen this year. I'm hoping the filing fees will be up. But with the present atmosphere, you don't really know. See, we've got all of our cabinet positions for election this year. You may have noticed that some of our cabinet people are getting in trouble. We got the governor's race, we got the U.S. Senate race. We've got all of the House and half of the Senate. Then various school board and county commission candidates throughout the state. And we're in a much different posture in terms of expending money this year. Because in 72 we only had one statewide candidate. So that meant there was only one candidate that was looking to us for some pretty good chunks of money, like $15,000-$20,000. This year, if we have three or four good cabinet people, and again, if we're involved in convincing them to run, that is going to have to cut inroads into what we spend on the legislature. Because we've got real hopes to elect our governor this year. Real high hopes. And boy, if you don't elect a cabinet member or two with him, the guy's in trouble, the day he's inaugurated. This was one of the problems, albeit he had a lot more, than Claude Kirk faced. Man, he was crying in the wilderness, which is what you do if you're a governor against six cabinet members. So, on the other hand, if we get the governor and we elect a couple of cabinet members, well, we're in a position then where we got four guys that we can yank around, get one of them over on our side, and you're going to win some of the battles instead of consistently losing. Claude Kirk couldn't get a motherhood resolution passed because that cabinet made up their mind that they didn't want to pass. So in a lot of areas where he could have been effective, he was not.
But you give cash. I mean, you don't provide media services like TV production and all that sort of thing. You let the candidates work that out themselves.
Yeah. We may. It's been done in the past. We may do it again this year. There's so many questions that get involved in it. Provide a Sunday supplement that goes into the dailies the Sunday before election, which has our whole slate. Difficulty there is you've got to change it. Many changes going from area to area. Either that or you get so much bulkier if you try and put it all. But say that method has been used in the past. Circumstances will dictate whether or not we do it this year.
Do you provide polls for them?
We're going to this year. I got authorization at our last board meeting to spend not a big chunk of money, but spend some money on polls. And also, my second half budget is approved at our state meeting. I'm going to have one of the gals on the staff work an odd shift, so she's here from 6 to 9 every night. We're working with RNC here, and we've got a way figured out
that in that 6 to 9 time every night, we can keep an update polling process once a week. I don't think that's the greatest idea in the world generally, but the rapidity with which the atmosphere is changing these days, what might be true today or the plug nickel a week from today, we have to be responsive to these changing moves or lose a lot of races that we should.
How do you think you'll do it in 74?
Well, I think the upset of the year is going to be that we're going to win the Republic. We're going to put our Republican in the governor's chair. I'm not saying that whistling in the dark or on false premises or anything else.
Okay, we saw the Orlando Sentinel poll recently. We should ask you what, well, it was very one-sided.
Well, I'll tell you how it showed them. It showed them just reverse of what Askew was at this time when he was running. But Askew was getting that 8% or 11% or whatever it was. And Kirk was way up the other way.
What do you think is going to reverse it?
So many things. First, it's in the process of reversing. I think that Rubin has made some tremendous tactical errors, not the least of which is getting Tom Adams madder than hell at him. Adams is going to cause Rubin some embarrassment and some real problems. Rubin made another very big tactical error in the fight over who was going to head up the Department of Natural Resources. And he made another big error in trying to get some of these cabinet people in trouble. And they know it. You take a Bud Dickinson or a Doyle Conrad, who've been at this game for a long time, who've had the power of their office. They have offices all over the state under them to make friends, to build organization and so forth. It's pretty formidable. Yeah. Rubin or Rubin's advisors, I don't know which, have seen fit to take these cabinet people on. I don't care what happens to them. I don't care if they're all indicted. The people that are behind them will blame Rubin for having their friends indicted. This is going to hurt. I think his national political ambitions are beginning to show through. That's going to hurt. He's really not interested in being governor a second term, but he knows that he's got to go for a second term if he's going to have a chance at the vice presidency or even possibly the presidency in 76. Any question about it?
Let me just ask you a question on that, playing devil's advocate a minute. Why would that hurt, assuming it's true, why would that hurt him? Why would not it almost help him from the standpoint of people of Florida saying, how wonderful it'd be to have a Floridian as president?
I think you got a logical question, and I think I can only give you the answer that it proved to hurt Claude Kirk. And particularly in light now of Watergate and Cabinetgate, where they're showing so many politicians as being power hungry, I think it hurts. The electorate's a lot more dignified than it was. I can agree with you. But, it'd be great to have somebody from Florida.
But I'm a political cat, too. Clark Kirk was hurt tremendously. Now, I will concede that one reason that Clark Kirk was hurt by it is because the media hated him and they found this as a way to berate him and poke fun at him and so forth. So he's dubbed things like Claudius Rex. See cartoons of Crown and Scepter. Things like that.
To what do you attribute the growth of the Republican Party in Florida? It's really less than 10 years, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, one thing you got to attribute it to is Bill Cramer. He did a lot to mold the party. And what happened to what gave him the material to mold it with was Florida becoming the home of senior citizens. And coming from conservative Midwest, where they knew the Republican Party to be a real party. And it got to the point where the supervisors of registration in Florida could no longer get away with, oh, you don't want to register Republican because you won't be able to participate in the elections, which is what they did. I mean, blatant is what they did. Until, like I say, the people from Ohio, Indiana, to their Midwest senior citizen conservatives come down here. And then you get into a chicken and egg operation. Yeah, please.
Can I get you gentlemen some more coffee?
Then you get into a chicken and egg situation. And that is, what comes first, more registration or an elected official? And it sort of worked both ways. You get enough registered Republican and some guy decides finally that he's going to take a fly at it on the Republican ticket. If he won, then more of these Democrats, more of these people who were registered Democrat but believed Republican, started moving their registration. And where this first began was in Pinellas County, which was Bill Cramer's home base. It was a long, slow process. But now there are two county officials in Pinellas that are not Republican.
Well, essentially, it was the movement of conservative Midwestern Republicans from other parts of the country,
older people. I would say so, yeah.
Are you now getting a movement of disaffected conservative Democrats into the party from Florida?
Yeah. We had a big surge when McGovern was nominated. Big surge of switchovers. I think Watergate has slowed us down now. We're constantly working it. We're always harping it here. A great many of our counties do continue. I'm talking about year-round, year in and year out, work of registration. I think we'll find the Democrats in the state on occasion will make big splashes, quite possibly with some good results, too. But they don't do it on this continual basis that you'll find so many of our Republican committees do. We do things like contacting every person that becomes naturalized. Congratulating them, saying, now you can vote and so forth. Thank Republican. The state committee last year gave $12,000 to the Dade County Committee in attempts, in pretty successful attempts, to register Cubans in the Republican Party. And the way they did that is they'd get a bunch of them deputized as a assistant supervisors' elections. And they'd be sitting in the hallway at desks when a big Cuban class was naturalized. And of course, these were Cubans at the desk who spoke Cuban to the Cuban and so forth and so on. And we were registering about 80 to 85% of them until about 2 months ago when the Democrats realized what the hell we were doing running away with the Cubans. And now they have started a look and maybe they've cut us down to 65%. By the same token, we've got a situation in Broward County, which unfortunately is just the reverse. Broward's very strong, Republican stronghold. But there's a huge, huge, huge development going in South Broward. And it's a retirement community for union workers. And they're just raising all sorts of hell with us down there. It's going to be a lot worse before it gets better.
How big is that thing going to be?
I'd have to check with somebody down there, but it seems like me. It's like 15,000, 20,000 people. I mean, it'll be just such a block.
What congressional district is that? Or whose congressional district?
I think Herb Brooks.
How many Republicans hold how many congressional seats now in Florida?
Four.
Four out of
15.
You think there'll be a gain, a loss, a hold you on this year?
Gain of one. Possibly two. Freak out three.
Well, that depends to some extent what pride does.
Yeah, and when I say it, I'm going on the assumption that Blue is staying where he's at. I don't know what would happen in that district if Blue didn't run. Reason so cloudy is, my lord, we'd have a primary with four or five guys in it, probably. And when you get into a primary like that, you just don't know what might happen. Just what might happen to the temperament of the people.
What do you think will happen in the Senate race? The Democrats apparently taking big aim at it.
Yeah. If I were them, I would too. I don't know. I think at the moment, everything hinges on what that grand jury in Jacksonville does.
What does the state party do insofar as congressional races are concerned? Similar thing what they do in legislative races?
No, we don't, or we didn't in 72. We didn't support them financially. Because we didn't want to get under this damn reporting act. Which incidentally looks like we'll have to be under anyway. And I just don't know yet. This is a decision that the board has to make. I frankly haven't even thought out a recommendation to them yet.
When you look at the other Republican state party organizations, at least in the South and perhaps outside the South, would you say that yours, because of the filing fees and other things, is better financed than the rest of them, and two, perhaps better organized than the rest of them?
Well, certainly not Texas.
Are excluding Texas? You know of any party that has the kind of financial base that you have?
I would think Tennessee has. Now, I think some other states do have filing fees. I don't know if they're in the South.
Georgia
has. I don't think that money is what... I don't think it's money that makes us well organized. I think it's a hell of a lot of...
No, I said one, well-financed. Two, well-organized.
I think the reason we're well-organized is a hell of a lot of people have worked awful damn hard over a long period of time. Goes way back when we really emerged as a real force here. Again, we'd have to go back to the area around the mid-60s into 67 where say we finally hit the donkey over the head and got his attention with those special elections, the reapportionment elections. But we've got some people who have hung in here and worked hard for several years. We got a Bill Kramer who gone back into the 50s and saw the potential and the possibility and never let go of it. Because if he hadn't, that would have meant when if 67 had fluked upon us, let's say, we wouldn't have been prepared for it. As it was, we were prepared for it. There's a lot of things that I think we're lacking as a party. But at least we're constantly striving. Stay in there slugging.
Is Kramer in Washington these days?
Yeah, he has a law office in Washington and in Miami.
In Miami?
Yeah.
We ought to get to see him because he seems to be key.
I don't see how you can write the book without seeing him. Tommy Thomas.
Right, we plan to do that. And I talked to him either Friday or Saturday. And how much permanent damage, if any, was the that primary fight in 70?
Well, permanent's a long time. It did some damage that we're crawling out of now and have been. The Tommy incident has been very instrumental in people are working together now that wouldn't speak to each other when that fiasco was over. And this is hell. But it took a lot of doing.
Can you background for us, not the attribution, just what took place in that? I've seen various, more or less versions of it.
Well, turn the tape off then.
No, it's not strictly a personality.
Yeah, it's not an ideological split here. Check Senator Gurney's voting record. Can't be an ideological split. It's a power split. Probably we've taught Kirk more times. He wanted the Kirk Party instead of the Republican Party. Which happened.
Was Crittenden aligned with Kirk as well as Gurney?
Yeah.
Does Kirk play any role in the party at all now?
No. Occasionally he'll make a speech someplace. Or show up at some function.
But he pretty well disappeared right after he left the office.
Oh, yeah.
Is Paula Hawkins aligned with Kramer? So if she runs, it presumably will be, in effect, a renewal of that battle to some extent, right?
No, I don't think so. It's an entirely different set of circumstances because of this grand jury situation.
Right, but won't it still be a certain amount of the same people aligned up behind the two candidates?
I'd never thought of it that way. I mean, you could be righter than I am, but I look at it at this point in terms of if the senator's indicted, the ball game's over as far as he's concerned.
Strength in that fight, basically because he was governor and in control of that, and that when that was gone, there was no Kirk organization as such left.
That's right.
So that was kind of ephemeral.
Keep
and what's left of it is Gurney's incumbency is the basis of his strength.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of it would be, but most of those people that surrounded Kirk have either scattered or come back into the fold.
And is Thomas the most significant figure in the Republican Party in Florida at this time?
Oh, yeah. Paul Hawkins might be in the mind of some. In terms of party structure,
pretty much got to be Tommy.
Is the party structure of the Republicans different than that of the Democrats? In other words, is there an input from your county committees into your executive committee?
Mm-hmm.
That's not true of the Democrats, is it?
I don't think as of now it isn't. In fact, they're talking about playing a very dangerous ballgame, I think, though. Overreacting in a nature. There's some legislation in now that if it passes, they're going to have their state committee people elected by the county committees.
Yeah, how does yours work?
Well, they'll make a bad mistake if they do that. Our state committee people are elected by the electorate in the primary.
By county?
Right, by county. And additionally, we have structured into our bylaws because we're trying to get a closer relationship with our county committees without a takeover by the county committees. That doesn't make sense either. We're trying to find the best of both worlds. And so what we did in 71 was we passed into our Constitution a thing that said that in each congressional district, the chairman of the counties in that congressional district will caucus and elect from among themselves one member as a representative on the state committee. And those 15 committee members so chosen will caucus